Good morning. Welcome to Grace Community Church. Thank you for tuning in to join us on our online service. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. If you are a part of Grace and you've been walking with us for quite a long time, we're just glad that you tuned in. Glad that you could worship with us here this morning. What you just watched via video was Rachel Lathrop's story and her baptism. What a powerful story. Absolutely love baptisms, and I love her story of a literal heart change and a figurative spiritual heart change. What you witnessed there was baptism, and that is the outward sign of the greater work that God does in a person by grace through faith. And what we've been doing over the last number of months is we've been looking at John chapter 13 all the way through 17, and we've been looking at this series called Greater Things. And what you witnessed in that baptism was evidence of these greater things. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." And what we have been focused on these last number of months as we're looking at these chapters is, what does it mean for God to call us to do these greater works? In the context of this text, in the context of the verses that follow it, when Jesus says, "I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit," and that Holy Spirit is going to indwell you and empower you to be my witnesses, it is clear that these greater works are the changing of lives like Rachel's. To take a heart which is dead and transgressed in sin and to breathe life into it and to bring that person into saving faith and life in Jesus Christ. That's the greater work that he wants to use each and every one of us to see happen in the lives of our friends, in the lives of our family members, in the lives of the people in this community, and the lives of people to the very ends of the earth. This morning we are going to take a pause from looking verse by verse at John chapter 14 through 17. And we're going to pause, we're going to take a look at where we've been, where we're at now, and where we are headed as a church that wants to see these greater things, these greater works that Jesus speaks of, become a normal, everyday part of our experience. And so we're going to see another baptism here towards the end of the service, and we're going to celebrate the new work that God is doing in people's lives, and we're going to pray for greater works to occur later on and how you and I can be a part of those very works. So let's pray, and we'll jump into the scriptures and get started. Father, we thank you for the testimony of Rachel. Thank you for her baptism. Thank you that for the one that we're going to see at the close of the service. Lord, we thank you for the changed lives that you bring about. Thank you, Lord, that you are working in our hearts. Thank you that we have the Word of God, the testimony of the scriptures, and the work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, we thank you for you, God becoming flesh and dwelling among us, taking our sins, pardoning us of our sins, and giving us the gift of your righteousness and eternal life. Spirit, speak to us, speak through your word this morning, and Father, encourage us, empower us to become a people that live for you, because you've died and given your life for us. Help me to preach in such a way that Jesus is honored this morning. It's in his name we pray, amen. Okay, so let's zero in on this text. This text, Jesus says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." So this last Friday, we finished up on 40 consecutive days of prayer. We had 624 people that participated in that, and they received a daily text with a scripture that was taken somewhere between John chapter 13 all the way through 17, and a short devotional and a guide on how to pray. So we've been praying continuously for the last 40 days that God would do greater things in and through us. So those of you that participated, thank you. For those of you that didn't It's not too late to start praying daily for greater things. But I want to ask you just to meditate just for a second on what typically do you pray for? What typically do you pray for? Jesus says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it, that the Son might be glorified, the Father might be glorified rather through the Son. So what is it that we typically pray for? You think about 2020 and all of the turmoil, COVID, racial tensions, a contentious election, a downturn in the economy. There's all sorts of things which have been very, very difficult to deal with. What do we typically pray for? Even in a good year, maybe 2018 or 2019 was relatively calm for you or good. What typically do we pray for? There's different types of things that we pray for. First of all, we can pray for comfort. There's nothing wrong with praying for comfort. We're encouraged to seek out the Lord and pray for healing, to pray for our daily bread, to pray for material blessings, to pray for our family, etc. But when we pray, this last year, has it been typically about praying for an end to COVID and a return to normalcy? There's nothing wrong with that. I've been praying that. I hope you have too. Or that the economy would upturn and that people who have lost their jobs would receive their jobs back and they would be blessed financially. I hope you've been praying for that. There's nothing wrong with praying for that. That's in accordance with praying for our daily bread. Or praying for a time of peace and calm at the close of a very contentious election cycle. There's nothing wrong with that. We should pray that. But here's the problem. If our prayers are primarily constituted in prayers for comfort, prayers for ease, then we tend to take one aspect of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, and that becomes all-consuming. Give us this day our daily bread is something we should pray for. We should pray for comfort. But Jesus is more than a bellhop. He's not a bellhop. Jesus is a servant, but he came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, not so that we could live comfortable lives, but rather we could lead kingdom-advancing lives. So it is not simply that we should pray for comfort, but rather we should pray that his glory is maximized. So yes, pray, give us this day our daily bread from the Lord's Prayer, but also pray, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then pray for daily bread and pray that we would be forgiven and that we forgive our trespasses and those who have sinned against us, and pray that we would not be given over to temptation and evil. Those kind of kingdom advancing prayers are the things the Lord longs for us to pray for. And he is so ready to give us what we pray for when we pray in his name, in accordance with his will. Prayers that fuel the advancement of the kingdom. Prayers that bring about a kingdom transformation in our own hearts. Prayers that are in line with what Paul said the fruit of the Spirit is in Galatians chapter 5, where he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's gentleness, it's self-control. So in this context, we're saying, Lord, your will be done. Lord, I want your will to be done in my life. I am bitter. I don't want to be bitter. I am without joy. I want to have your joy. I don't have peace. I'm filled with anxiety. I want to have peace. When we bring ourselves to the Lord and we submit ourselves to him and we ask the Holy Spirit to do in us what we just can't do for ourselves, to bring about a transformation of character which we cannot manufacture on our own, to make people who are not naturally loving, naturally or supernaturally loving, those are the kingdom types of prayers that the Lord longs to answer. Those are the things that if we bring those things to him in his name, he will do it. He promises that he will do it. So to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, means that we are praying for character transformation, that God would sanctify us, set us apart, and to make us holy. But it's more than that. God did not simply save you and I so that we could become like Jesus in his character. But rather, he saved us so that we could actually carry out his agenda. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 19. Let me just read it to you. He says, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus did not simply save us from our sin so that we could someday be united with him. Jesus saved us from our sin so that we might live, that we might demonstrate, and that we might declare the gospel to people who have not yet heard nor understood the good news of what Jesus Christ came to do. We are not simply to pray for comfort until we die. We are to pray that the God of all comfort would be known in the nations. And when Jesus says, "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it," he is thinking, he is hoping, he is wanting us to pray to that end. And yes, pray for your daily bread. And yes, pray that COVID would go away. And yes, pray that you would get along with your neighbors. But more importantly, pray for your neighbors. Pray for the nations, that they might come to know the God who redeemed you and I and Rachel from that baptism we just watched. The good news that God has given to us is too precious to hide in a basket and not share. This is what God has called us to. Pray to the end that in 2025, Grace Community Church, you and I, the people that call this family of believers our spiritual family, pray that we would see 1,000 new Christ followers, fully devoted to Jesus and committed to sharing the gospel in the corridor through action and word. That is what it means to pray for greater things. And that is the vision that God has called the leadership and this church to pray very specifically for. So by the end of 2025, it is our desire, it is our prayer that the Lord use you, use me, and everyone that calls Grace Community Church their spiritual family to see 1,000 people begin to follow Christ as Rachel did. To see 1,000 people share their stories of Christ-altering, redempted hearts that they might love and know Jesus just as you and I love and know Jesus. That's the kind of things that the Holy Spirit breathes life into and causes his people to pray for so that he might be glorified, so that Christ might be honored, so the Father's name might be seen as hallowed in this community to the ends of the earth. Now, I realize that there are some of you that are listening to this and you're thinking, "Oh, I'm just not comfortable with numbers. I don't want it to be about numbers. There's 1,000 people. That just seems like it's just like you're setting yourself up for failure. And it's not about the numbers." And you know what? You're right. It's not about the numbers. Success is never measured quantitatively by how many people come to your church, how many people got baptized, how many people did you share Jesus with. That's not how success is measured in the Bible. But rather, success, in Paul Tripp in his book Lead, he says, "In ministry, success and failure are not a matter of results, but are defined by faithfulness. Faithfulness is what God asks of us. The rest is entirely up to his sovereignty and the power of his grace. Case in point, Jesus was faithful. And when he went to the cross, his preaching netted 120 followers. Peter was faithful, and he preached for 10 minutes on Pentecost, and 3,000 people came to know Jesus. So who was a bigger success, Peter or Jesus? That's a stupid question. Both of them were successful because both of them were faithful. The prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament preached for years with no converts, and he was a radical success as the nation of Israel and Judah was carried off into exile into Babylon. But he was successful because he did exactly what God commissioned him to do. So we're going to leave the results up to God. That's not our responsibility. But we are going to pray for 1,000 people to come to know Jesus and become fully devoted followers of Christ. And we are going to seek that the Lord would make us a faithful people to do what we need to do to ensure that God can use us to that very end. So I'm going to spend a brief amount of time here sharing what the Lord has taught us about faithfulness and the lessons we've learned to share where we've been and where we're going. So in 2018, we began an initiative called Momentum. And what we learned there was that for us to be a movement of God, it requires discipleship is for everyone, that all of us are engaged. And then something else we learned here in this latest year was that we're stuck. So let's just take a brief moment here. The Momentum campaign, for those of you that were around back in 2018, for those of you that are new, you're not sure what that is, we went through a sermon series and a discipleship initiative, which we entitled Momentum, and the goal for that was 100% engagement. 100% engagement, that everybody who calls Grace Community Church their home, everyone would be praying. Everyone would be serving. And everyone would give of their time, their talent, and their treasure to advance the gospel in this community and to the ends of the earth. Why did we do that? Because we discovered that Grace Community Church was a growing church. We had a lot of people that were coming, and they were sitting, and they were listening. But we found that a number of people were not engaged. We discovered that in 2018, 2017, that less than half of our people were engaged in serving in any way within or outside of the church. That less of half the people that call Grace Community the church were involved in any type of meaningful community. That less than half the people that call Grace Community the church gave anything at all to the advancement of the kingdom through the work that happens at Grace Community Church. So our goal during that Momentum campaign was to see 100% engagement, that everybody would pray, that everybody would serve, and everyone would contribute in some capacity as the Lord led, so that the kingdom of God might be advanced through this church, your home church. And we saw God do a number of things, and we were super encouraged. 400 new families that began to give. We had a number of people who got engaged and got plugged in to different community groups and different service opportunities. We've seen a growing and a swelling movement of prayer, which is a result of what God had done through you, through this church, through what we've done in Momentum. And yet, we didn't see Momentum become a reality. And here's why. You see, Momentum requires mass moving in a particular direction. And we found in the year 2020, that we had a lot of people doing a lot of great things and a lot of people who love Jesus moving in different directions. And we found that the biggest part of the problem wasn't you watching me preach, but it was us in the leadership of Grace Community Church. We figured out that as we had grown, God had revealed to us that we had simply become too complicated as an organization. And we needed to step back, and the leadership of Grace Community Church needed to do some hard to do some hard inward looking and ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand why we're not moving, why we are not seeing disciples being made. We found that we hired an organization called Unstuck, and they helped us, and we prayed with them, and they prayed with us, and we polled, and we did all sorts of surveys, and the Holy Spirit revealed that we are not a church that empowers and equips people like you to reach the community, but rather we've become an overly complex organization which is staff heavy and where the staff tends to do all the work. And we're perpetuating the problem. So we have undergone a whole series of reorganization from the top down. We've reorganized the staff. We're in this continuing this process. And part of that is all of the things that we went through in Momentum. Many of you are like, whatever happened to all the goals that we had? Why haven't they been shared? That's been part of the problem. We've been poor in communication to you. We have not been a church that's equipped you to do the work of ministry. And so we've made some sweeping changes, and we're encouraged by what we're seeing, but that's going to bear fruit later on. We're starting to see these things work out, and we're encouraged by all of that. You can go to our website to see, actually it's right there on the screen below you, graceb3.org/unstuck, and that will kind of take you through all of the different things we're going through. I don't want to walk you through all of that today, but I just want to encourage you that God has taught us that if we are going to equip you, if we are going to see greater things, we've got to change. The leadership has to change. We have to do the work of ministry to equip you, the body of Christ, so that you might grow in maturity, so that you might equip one another to do the work of ministry. Because this is all of our work. It's not the staff's work. It's not the pastor's work. It's not the elder's work. It's the body of Christ. He wants us all to do greater things. So coming back to this, we're praying for greater things. That we would see 1,000 new Christ followers fully devoted to Jesus and sharing and committed to sharing the gospel in the corridor through action and word. We're going to see another testimony. We're going to see another baptism right now. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to explain how you can participate in praying and serving and giving so that we all might see greater things. So we would like to see, we are praying to this end, that we would see 1,000 new Christ followers fully devoted to Jesus and committed to sharing the gospel in the corridor through action and word. Now, how is that going to happen? First of all, we're going to have to pray. Now, I know there's a number of people, you're still not comfortable with the number. Don't worry about the number, but will you do this? Will you pray? Will you pray? Will you write down three people and pray that they would come to know Jesus? Those could be your family members. Those could be your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. It could be your enemies. But pray specifically by name once a week for the next 5 years for those three people that they might come to know Jesus. And would you pray that the Spirit would equip you that you might be used to witness to the power of Christ so that those three people might come to know Jesus? And then would you pray that the church would be mobilized to help you reach those people for Jesus? And pray together. We've ended this 40 days of prayer. I want to invite you to continue to pray by going to our website and finding out different opportunities. We have groups of people that pray every morning during the different services that take place throughout Sunday morning. We want to encourage you to come alongside them and pray together. Pray together in your community groups. Pray together in your families. Pray together with your children. Pray together with your spouses, with your roommates, with other Christians, to the end that you might see those three people that you're praying for actually come to know Jesus. So we can pray. Jesus says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father might be glorified through the Son. These are the kind of things that Jesus wants us to pray for. And we can serve. God has given you gifts and ability that he has not given anyone else. God has put you in spheres of influence where you are coming in contact with people that other people cannot come in contact with. And God wants to equip you, and God wants to use you to the end that people would come to know Jesus. So I want to encourage you to serve. Go to our website, gracebe3.org/connect, and fill out a connect card and let us know how you might want to explore finding out how to serve. That doesn't commit you to anything, but it helps you take the first step and the next step in maybe finding out how God wants to use you to serve the body of Christ, to help equip us, one another, to reach the nations and to reach our community, and for you to reach your neighbors so you can serve. And then we can give. We can give. God calls us all to be good stewards of the time, the talent, and the treasure that he's given us, that we might use it not simply for our blessing, but for the blessing of others. So we want to encourage you to discover what it means to partner with the body of Christ so that he might use you, he might use your talent, and he might use the treasure that he's entrusted to you to see 1,000 people come to Christ. So go to our website, gracebe3.org/give, to find out all the various ways that you can do that as the Lord leads you. And finally, I want to close with this scripture. The Apostle Paul says to the church in Philippi chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul recognized that he cannot reach the nations alone. He needed the people in Philippi, and the people of Philippi need one another, and the people in Philippi need the people in Colossae, and they need the people in Rome, and they need the people in North Liberty, and they need the people in Taiwan. The body of Christ, it is a global partnership to reach the nations for Christ. So whatever God leads you to do, whoever he leads you to pray for, however he leads you to serve, and whatever he leads you to give, thank you for your partnership in the gospel to the end that you and I, this church, would see greater things, that we would see 1,000 hearts changed for Jesus and hear their stories and see their baptisms. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for choosing us, for saving us, for washing us our sins, for giving us the Holy Spirit. Lord, and thank you for giving us the ministry of reconciliation and making us ambassadors of Christ. God, I pray that you would give us, oh Lord, that you would give us wisdom, that we might organize ourselves as a church to the end that we would equip one another so that we might see people come to Jesus. We do not want to be a church that simply caters to people's felt needs and entertain them, even with good preaching and good music. Lord, may that preaching and music and the prayers of your saints mobilize the saints to reach people for Christ. Lord, we pray this, that Christ would be honored, that he would be glorified, and the Father's name would be seen as holy in this city, in this country, and to the very ends of the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Go in grace and pray for greater things. We'll see you next week.